Welcome to the hardest hitting hour in combat sports coverage, bar none.
I am the greatest!
From the slickest submissions and crushing KOs of mixed martial arts, to the heart and soul of the sweet science of boxing.
8, 9, can he make it? It's over! It's over!
Followed by the showmanship and athleticism of professional wrestling. Is the voice of champions. This is Fight Network Radio on Hardcore Sports Radio, Channel 186. Here's your host, Moral.
Once again, blow low your mind when the rock in front. I'm keeping on with my words. So strong, pure perfection from DNA to DM.
Here's your host, John Pollock.
It's the Monday edition of Fight Network Radio, everybody. John Pollock here in the hot seat for the next 60 minutes. Going to be totally upfront with everybody. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the next 60 minutes. I had 2 hours of sleep last night, and I feel so sick right now. But I am here. I am here for you, the listener, and I hope that you will join me here on Fight Network Radio. 1-888-9-HARDCORE, 1-888-942-7326. Open calls today, looking back at the year in boxing, mixed martial arts, and professional wrestling. What was your highlight, and conversely, your low light of 2008? Open phone lines, so get your calls in. It'll be the last time we'll be able to get to you this year. Also joining us today, Ariel Helwani of MMArated.com. He's going to stop by for the Insider Report as we look ahead to UFC 92 coming up this Saturday night. Three huge fights on the bill for that card in Las Vegas. As well, looking at Ariel's high and low points of the calendar year. And as well, we're going to touch in with Wei Ting from the Fight Network. The man has his own TV special this coming Christmas edition on the Fight Network. All that and more. Once again, 1-888-9-HARDCORE, 1-888-942-7326. Big news pack to get to, so without further ado, here is the news from the weekend.
It's time for today's knockout news.
Well, Saturday night in Zurich, Switzerland, there were no feel-good stories coming out of the heavyweight division as WBA heavyweight champion Nikolai Volyev retained his championship in an unspectacular way, taking, though some pundits are claiming stealing, a majority decision win over Evander Holyfield with scores of 116-112, 115-114, and one judge having the fight even at 114 apiece. This was Volyev's 50th victory of his career, improving to 50-1, and now looks ahead to mandatory challenger Ruslan Chagaev. After the fight, Sauerland Events managing director Chris Meyer stated that it was a very close fight and that a rematch could be a possibility after the Muscayev title defense for Volyev. Don't know if that's a promise or a threat to fans. Humberto Soto dropped the interim from his title billing on Saturday night with a solid unanimous decision victory over Francisco Lorenzo with scores of 118-108, 117-109, and 117-109 to become the full WBC super featherweight champion. Soto lost to Lorenzo earlier this year with a controversial disqualification handed to Soto by referee Joe Cortez. Joan Guzman improved to 29-0 on Saturday, defeating Amith Diaz by unanimous decision in a WBC lightweight eliminator. Judges had scores of 119-109, 120-108, and 119-109. This was Guzman's first fight since his failed attempt to fight Nate Campbell earlier this year, where Guzman failed to make weight and the fight was canceled just one day prior to the fight. A WBC welterweight title eliminator took place in Belgium on the weekend with Jackson Bonsu inching one step closer to a title shot against Edson Berto with a 12-round majority decision over Carlos Baldemir. Scores in that fight were 114, 113, 114, 112, and 113 apiece. Square Ring, the promotional company for Roy Jones Jr., has signed 21-2-2 middleweight fighter Daniel Edouard. The Haitian sensation is set to fight next in early 2009 in South Florida. Art of Boxing Promotions and Bash Promotions presented Season's Beatings on Saturday evening in Inglewood, California. The show, which drew 800 spectators, was headlined by Roman Karmazin scoring a 12-round unanimous decision victory over Bronco McCart. This was Karmazin's first fight at middleweight since moving up. And FightNews.com has obtained a memo sent out by WBC President Jose Suleiman stating that Oleg Muscayev will become the mandatory challenger for the winner of the forthcoming heavyweight title fight between champion Vitaly Klitschko and Juan Carlos Gomez, who must fight by April the 30th of next year, unless there are extenuating circumstances, and then the fight would have to take place by June the 30th of next year. In an interview with SureDog.com, Strikeforce light heavyweight champion Renato Babalu Sobral has stated that he would like to move down to 185 pounds as the main targets for him at 205 are under contract right now to the UFC. MMAJunkie.com has learned that a verbal agreement has been made between WEC bantamweight champion Miguel Torres and Brian Bowles for a WEC card in April. Both fighters are coming off wins at the December 3rd WEC 37 card, with Torres successfully defending his championship against Manny Tapia and Bowles defeating Will Ribeiro. Sam Kaplan from 5OuncesOfPain.com reports that Brandon Vera will fight Mike Pat at the UFC 96 show on March the 7th in Columbus, Ohio. Vera had a very shaky 2008 with losses to Fabricio Werdum as well as Keith Jardine and a very lackluster decision victory over Reese Andy back in July. Same site is reporting that Jake Rochelt will make his UFC debut February the 7th at Ultimate Fight Night 17 in Tampa, Florida against veteran Alessio Sicara. Dave Meltzer, the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, is reporting that the UFC is attempting to finalize a heavyweight bout between Gabriel Napao Gonzaga and Shane Carwin for the UFC 96 card, as we mentioned, taking place March the 7th in Columbus. Former UFC light heavyweight champion Chuck Liddell was on the Tom Likas show over the weekend and stated that he would like to have a rematch with Keith Jardine and has asked for Jardine for March of next year. Jardine holds a split decision victory over Liddell from September of 2007 at UFC 76 in a fight that had Liddell won, he would have received the light heavyweight title shot coming out of. MMA Junkie is indicating that a middleweight fight between Nate Marquardt and Wilson Gouveia is close to being inked for the February 21st show in London, England at UFC 95. On that same card, Neil Grove and Stefan Struve have been added to the show. No opponents have been yet named for either fighter. Canadian mixed martial arts fans are going to be getting a late Christmas gift starting January the 10th as Jeff Osborne's Hook and Shoot promotion will be airing the 2007 Hook and Shoot Grand Prix on Viewer's Choice Canada. The show features eight of the top women in the world and three huge knockouts on the show. Fighters in action on the card include Tara LaRosa, Misha Tate, Jan Finney, and a host of others. The event will air throughout January and into February. The 2009 Grand Prix is going to be taking place January the 17th in Evansville, Indiana, with an eight-woman tournament featuring women in the 115-pound weight division. Tonight, the countdown to UFC 92 preview show will be debuting at 11 p.m. Eastern on Spike, and Sportsnet has named welterweight champion George St. Pierre its Athlete of the Year for 2008. Raw takes place tonight at the Air Canada Centre in Toronto with the start of a mini-tournament to determine the number one contender for John Cena's World Championship. Matches tonight will feature Shawn Michaels meeting Kane, JBL takes on Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho meets CM Punk, and a rematch from Armageddon pitting Batista against Randy Orton, unless they do an injury angle for Batista based off of last week's closing angle where he was kicked in the head. The four winners of the matches tonight will participate in a fatal four-way match next Monday on Raw from Manchester, New Hampshire. The company will also be taping this week's SmackDown Tonight in Toronto. The only match announced for that show thus far is Shelton Benjamin defending the U.S. Championship against Hurricane Helms. It is also expected the former WWE diva Trish Stratus will be at the tapings tonight, but no word on whether she will be on camera or not. Former TNA talent Johnny Devine also scheduled tonight to be working a dark match at the TV tapings in the T-Dot. And one man who will not be appearing at the tapings tonight is R-Truth, Ron Killings, who was denied entry into Canada earlier today at the border. No word on why he was not allowed through. Tomorrow night will be a best-of show for ECW, recapping the past year's events on the program. Mr. Kennedy is currently being advertised to wrestle on the WWE South American Tour in February. That may be pushing things, as when I last spoke to Kennedy, he said he would not be cleared until the end of February, so that's going to be pushing it close for a return date. TNA will be airing a new episode of Impact this Thursday on Christmas Day, but we'll take the January 1st week off with a best-of show. That show is going to feature Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe from Lockdown earlier this year, which was the most purchased pay-per-view of the year for TNA. Mickey Rourke has been nominated for Best Actor by the Chicago Film Critics Association. The wrestler will be opening Christmas Day in Toronto at the Cumberland Theater. It is already open in select theaters in Los Angeles and New York. The movie did $52,000 per screen in New York over the weekend, which is a tremendous figure. Diamond Dallas Page posted a note on his website that Ernest the Cat Miller has signed on with HBO to play George Foreman in an upcoming project. And don't forget that the Fight Network's Year in Review show debuts tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, with a rundown of all the major stories in pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, and boxing. We've got Ariel Helwani from MMArated.com coming up in the Inside Report, looking back at the year in 2008, as well as ahead to UFC 92, as the UFC goes out with a huge bang this Saturday night. To go get all of your combat sports news, check out TheFightNetwork.com.
Don't know much about history on this day.
WAMA heavyweight champion Fyodor Emelianenko suffered the only loss of his career on this date in 2000 to Tsuyoshi Kosaka at the Ring's King of Kings tournament. The fight ended in only 17 seconds after an elbow from Kosaka opened up Emelianenko and doctors were forced to stop the fight. The two would rematch in April of 2005, with Emelianenko avenging the lone blemish on his record, with Kosaka unable to answer the bell after the first round of action. With a record of 28 wins, 1 loss, and 1 no contest, Emelianenko is gunning for win number 29 next month when he defends his championship against Andrei Orlovsky at Affliction's Day of Reckoning card.
This is Fight Network Radio Insider Report. If you want to talk to the experts, call us now at 1-888-942-7326. That's 1-888-9-HARDCORE. Anywhere in North America, toll free.
It's Fight Network Radio, everyone. Two more shows to go before the end of the year for us here on our Fight Network Radio calendar. And how could we possibly close out the year without having one of our favorite insiders on the show? He is the man over at MMArated.com, the always busy, always talented, but still always making some time for Fight Network Radio. Ariel Helwani joining us. Ariel, what's up?
Joe Poe, what's going on, my man?
Things are well. A little under the weather today. What's it like in New York City right now, weather-wise?
It's freezing. I think when I woke up this morning, I thought I was in Montreal again. It is one of the coldest days since I've ever moved here. It's horrible.
I'm not a fan of this winter weather. Not a fan of it one bit at all. I know I've lived in Toronto my entire life, but it is a very, very cold one. What's coming up for the Helwani household for the holiday season?
The Helwani household is going to warmer climates starting tomorrow. Unfortunately, I've made a lot of enemies over the last year, so I'd rather not say where I'm going because people have been following me. But thankfully, I'll be leaving this bitterly cold weather. So I'm very happy about that. I can't wait. I don't even know how I grew up in this weather. It was definitely colder as a kid in Montreal, but I have no idea how I even wanted to go outside to play, because I remember playing outside a lot, but I just don't know why I wanted to do it.
No, it makes you more durable. I remember we were talking to Chris Jericho once, and he said the reason he never had a major injury was because he grew up in the Winnipeg cold, and you just kind of get used to it.
Winnipeg cold sounds like the worst thing in the world. So, yeah, he may have a point, actually.
That's no fun in Winnipeg. But something that will be pretty cool, coming up Saturday night, we've got UFC 92, Ariel, as the UFC closes out 2008, and a very stacked card by UFC standards for this show coming up on Saturday night. It's a little premature because I know we haven't seen the countdown special yet that will be airing tonight. But what are your thoughts 5 days out from this show? This is really the UFC's showcase event of the calendar year.
I love this show, and anyone that's got a problem with it needs to, you know, pick a fight with me, because I think this is actually the best card of the year. All three top main events, I guess you could call them a triple main event, are amazing. The only one that I find to be a little weird is definitely the Vanderlei against Rampage fight, only because, I mean, when have we ever seen a guy lose twice to another fighter and then get a third shot? And I know the lines have been kind of blurred between the history of Pride and the UFC, and a lot of current UFC fans weren't watching MMA back in those days when they did meet twice, but you can make a case that they're both very different fighters at this point, so that's kind of interesting. And obviously, I'm just curious to see what kind of Rampage Jackson we're going to see after everything that went down in July. But aside from that match, I mean, I can't wait for Rashad Evans against Forrest Griffin. I'm a huge supporter in all things Rashad Evans. I really get upset when people say that he's a one-trick pony, and I think he actually has a great chance. I am going to be picking Forrest Griffin if I had to put money down, which I won't be, but, if I did in my fictitious world, only because I think he's a bit better, but I can't wait for that fight. I think it's going to be amazing. And, of course, I think Frank Mir has a better chance than a lot of people are giving him against Minotauro Nogueira. I think he's ready for this, and this isn't going to be the beached whale, pregnant-looking Frank Mir that we're going to see on Saturday. This is going to be a guy who recognizes this is his chance at stardom once again, so I think that's going to be a great war.
In the heavyweight battle, really interesting because the ramifications coming out of it, I think it's really win-win for the UFC in this sense. A rematch with Frank Mir and Brock Lesnar, I think that could do some dynamite business. And Nogueira coming out of this, that will present a brand new theme to this with Brock Lesnar and the critics about his ground game and, how much has he advanced in that stage. So I think either way, the UFC comes out very strong with whoever will be the interim heavyweight champion after the event Saturday night.
100% right. It's an absolute win-win. Anyone at this point that they put up against Brock Lesnar is pretty much a money-making fight, but I personally would love to see Brock versus Mir too, just because of the trash talking, and I really want to hear Brock Lesnar continue to refer to Frank Mir as Frank Mir. I always get a kick out of that. And, of course, you know, Brock Lesnar going up against a legend like Minotauro to continue his rise up the ladder is very intriguing. I love hearing people say that, you know, Nogueira is going to wipe the floor with Mir. I don't know what, you know, what these people have been watching in the last year and a half. If you think back, it's amazing. Nogueira's only fought twice in the UFC since coming over from Pride. Heath Herring should have beat him if he had a little more killer instinct. And you can make a case that Eve Levine could have stopped the fight. And Tim Sylvia was dominating him until he, you know, dug deep into his bag of tricks and was able to submit him. Nogueira hasn't looked that great as a member of the UFC, so I don't know why everyone is just dismissing Frank Mir. Of course, Mir didn't look that great against Brock Lesnar, but it's not like, you know, one guy's been looking a lot better than the other. So I think it's actually a very evenly matched fight, and I really think that Frank Mir recognizes that this is his chance back at stardom. He was, you know, a top fighter before that horrible motorcycle accident, and finally, you know, with a little luck along the way, no doubt, he's still getting a chance to shine again. So all things considered, this really sets up a very intriguing heavyweight landscape for 2009.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge fight for Frank Mir because, as you said, really a crossroads from him after that 2004 accident. And for a lot of people, I mean, their memories of Frank Mir since that time, I mean, that Dan Christensen's fight, I still have nightmares about to this day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a win over Anthony Hardonk on a dark fight didn't really, I think, sell a lot of people on Frank Mir. And then, of course, the Brock Lesnar fight. So this very, very important fight for Frank Mir. Do you think cardio is going to be an issue for Frank Mir? Because that's what everyone points to in this fight, which potentially could go 25 minutes.
Yeah, I really don't think so. And you kind of laid it out perfectly there. Let's be clear. Frank Mir does not deserve a shot at the interim title or, you know, the real title, whatever. I mean, he's done nothing to really deserve it. I don't care about the fact that he beat Brock Lesnar. He didn't look impressive in doing so, and the only reason why he beat Lesnar was due to Lesnar's inexperience. But, you know, things happen sometimes, and you get a chance to shine. And just from interviews that I've seen with him, I really get the sense, and through his demeanor on The Ultimate Fighter, that he recognizes how big this is. And he's had plenty of time to prepare for this fight. I mean, his last fight was in early February against Lesnar. That's 10 months ago, more than 10 months ago. So, yeah, I mean, he's had so much time, and I really think that he's going to come out prepared. This is going to be, in my opinion, the best Frank Mir that we've seen for maybe over 5 years when he was really at top of his game. And Nogueira, to me, the jury's still out. I mean, like I said, he hasn't looked that good in the UFC. He's the interim champ, but I think that maybe, and I'm not saying this is going to be the case, but everyone telling him that he's going to, you know, bowl right through Frank Mir and, you know, eventually meet Brock Lesnar in the spring of 09, that might get to someone's head. Nogueira is a legitimate, you know, fighter. He's a veteran. I'm sure he doesn't buy into that stuff. But after so many people telling you that for the last few months, that might play tricks on you.
And quickly, as we wrap up things here on UFC, going into this one, I mean, they're coming off a very, very successful show in November, just a shade over a million buys for Lesnar and Couture, which I think beat a lot of people's projections, definitely beat mine. What do you think is going to be the ballpark in terms of pay-per-view buys for this show? It hasn't really lit up as a live event, and the ticket's still available for it, but on pay-per-view, what do you foresee coming out of this one buy-wise?
Yeah, I haven't sensed a ton of buzz. I mean, obviously The Ultimate Fighter is like 16-week promo for that, you know, heavyweight title fight. And I think Rashad Evans and Forrest Griffin, given the fact that they are former cast members on The Ultimate Fighter, a lot of people know who they are. People know who Rampage Jackson is. I don't think Vanderlei is as big of a star than a lot of people, you know, in our little world might think he is, just because he spent most of his time over in Pride. However, I think there are enough big names on that card to at least guarantee you the 600,000 range, and anything over 800, I would be shocked. So I'm kind of going to go in that ballpark, around like 600 to 800.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good bet. Want to switch over to a little professional wrestling discussion, Mr. Helwani, because
nice.
We know you cover it all. And the WWE actually in our neck of the woods tonight in Toronto at the Air
Canada. Are you going?
I'm not going to the show tonight, but we'll be watching it tonight, and they are starting their mini tournament tonight to find out the number one contender for John Cena's World Championship. Wanted to get your thoughts before we get into the tournament on this JBL Shawn Michaels angle, because everyone I ask, they have different opinions about this storyline. I think a lot of people have no idea what's going to happen with this angle. Curious about your thoughts thus far and how it's been executed.
I actually like it. I like it for several reasons. One of the reasons is that we've never really seen JBL and HBK work together, so just on that front alone, it's kind of a fresh matchup. I don't really believe that HBK is, undergoing some financial trouble in his life, but I don't really believe anything that's going on in wrestling these days. Nothing really screams believability. So I like the fact that they're kind of, you know, taking something out of the current, economic crisis that we're all dealing with and making it seem real. I think it was on The Law. I might be mistaken, but someone mentioned that I heard recently saying that Michaels probably wasn't the best candidate for that role, and you could definitely make a case of that. I mean, the guy's been around for so long, it's hard to believe that this veteran is having these financial troubles. It probably would have made sense if it was more of like a guy that's only been around for 5 or 6 years, like a Batista type. But nonetheless, I like it. I mean, I think JBL, regardless of the fact that he might be the biggest dick in the history of wrestling, I think he's one of the best guys on the mic. HBK always delivers. He's actually been delivering great over the last year, even dating back to the stuff with his wife and Jericho. I thought that was awesome. So I liked it a lot. I mean, I'd love to hear what you think. I think I do know what you think, but... why don't you hit me with it anyways?
Well, it definitely hasn't sold me on it yet. I'll say this with Shawn Michaels. It's obviously the believability is a bit of a difficult one to jump across. That being said, Shawn Michaels is probably the only guy that can do this type of an angle where it requires a lot of acting and cutting a serious promo here. And I want to see where it goes, because I don't think the WWE necessarily has an end point for this angle right now, because I don't understand how this ends. And I mean, you can throw a lot of logic at it, and I understand you can nitpick to death, but I think a lot of angles you can do that too, and if it connects with people, you can overlook a lot of logic gaps in this. That being said, I'm reserving judgment right now, because it is something very different, which is something I've been clamoring for. I've been very, very bored with the WWE and TNA products of late, so I'm hoping that this is at least something fresh. We got to get to a break, Ariel, but you're going to stick around with us for a little open call action? We also want to go through some big stories from this year.
Yes, I would love to. Thanks a lot. I can't wait.
Awesome. We're going to go to a quick sports update right now here on Sirius 98. Ariel Helwani, the MVP of Fight Network Radio for 2008. Going to be.
That's what you said to Sam Kaplan last week.
Well, you are our overarching MVP, and that's what Moro said, Ariel.
Yes,
this is John Pollock's MVP of Fight Network Radio. When we come back, what were your highlights and lowlights of 2008? We're going to bug the brain of Mr. Helwani, and you better believe we'll be talking about a little more pro wrestling here on Fight Network Radio. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe.